Internet continues to shape how we do business. It's where prospects decide who to buy from, you or your competitor. Welcome to Generation Web with host Matt Dolby, the live radio program that gives you strategies for smarter web marketing.
We're going to be talking today about mobile marketing and what it means for your business. There are nearly 100 million people in the United States today using the mobile internet. Mobile is exploding, but the question is, what does that mean for your business? How can you tap into the mobile marketing trend that is continuing to grow to reach more potential buyers and prospects? That is the question that we're going to answer today. With the ubiquity of mobile devices, they're everywhere, like the well-known Android, iPhone, iPad, BlackBerry, and others, comes more opportunity for marketers and for businesses. There's also more fragmentation at the same time of audiences and more potential for confusion. So during today's episode, I'll be speaking with Greg Sterling, mobile analyst, expert, and author. Greg will discuss the interplay between mobile and local marketing, social media, and other topics. Today, you're going to be able to grab some practical insights to help your business thrive in an increasingly mobile world. Greg, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Matt. Good to be here.
A little bit of an introduction for Greg here before we get right into the topic. Greg is the founder of Sterling Market Intelligence, focused on the internet's impact on offline consumer behavior. He's also a senior analyst with Opus Research Internet to Go. That's INTERNET numeric 2 GO with that program, and a contributing editor with the Search Engine Land. Previously, Sterling ran BIA Kesley's interactive local media program. Did I say that correct, Greg?
It's actually Kelsey.
Kelsey, thank you. Before ILM, he was a producer at Tech TV, and before that, he was part of the pre-launch editorial team at AllBusiness.com. And way back in the early and mid-1990s, Sterling was practicing attorney before leaving law to join the manic world of online marketing as it is today. Greg is frequently cited and quoted in leading U.S. publications regarding the search, local, and mobile markets. And I have to add that I am a big fan of Greg, read his stuff all the time on Search Engine Land and other websites. And so, again, thank you for joining us today, Greg. I'm very excited to have you on the show.
Oh, thanks for inviting me. No problem.
So the mobile internet, it obviously is exploding, and I just would like you to kind of, as we open the show today, talk to our listeners about the current state of mobile marketing, just at a high level, generally speaking.
Sure. I mean, probably a fair percentage of the people listening to this program right now have so-called smartphones, the iPhone and one of the Android devices, maybe Windows or a Palm OS phone or Symbian, Nokia phone. So there's a range of these smartphones, most of which have now touch screens with browsers that can render HTML pages. They have apps and so on. So the iPhone was introduced in 2007, and that really was the beginning of the mobile internet, even though mobile marketing and, there were a lot of things going on prior to that. But it's really dating from 2007 and all the subsequent developments. And there's just been an explosion of growth. And it's really all tied to the adoption of these handsets. Once people have smartphones, they do very different kinds of things. And we can get into what that means. And as a consequence of all this mobile internet usage, there's come a range of marketing, marketing ad units and vehicles that are in general like what you find online: search, display, coupons. In mobile, you have also text-based, SMS-based ads, which is a little bit different, sort of like email advertising, but a little different. So there's a whole range of things that are largely analogous to online, but with some differences that are fairly important to think about. And we have a growing, I'm going on and on here, but we have a growing market that is, currently, depending on whose forecast you believe, approaching $1 billion dollars in the U.S. mobile advertising marketing and growing from there to $3-4 billion in the next couple of years.
That's a big market, and it continues to grow very rapidly.
That's right, and it's all connected to the handsets. Once people have these handsets, these smartphones, their behavior is dramatically different than when they have a feature phone, and it's fairly obvious to anyone who's made that transition recently why that is. I mean, you can do a lot more things.
Okay, and so as you're touching on this topic of behavior changing, let's delve a little bit more into that. What are some of the key trends in mobile consumer behavior that you're seeing?
First of all, the assumption was that people were using their smartphones only when they were on the go. But in fact, what you have now, and there's a lot of data to support this, is that people have smartphones with them at all times, and they use them very often while they're watching TV in the home. So, you know, it's the kind of ubiquitous second screen. It's always there. And some percentage of people have a smartphone beside them at their PC and will do certain kinds of things on that device. So marketers have to think now, have to imagine people with these devices on them everywhere they may be, and every piece of content is actionable. Even if it's online, even if it's a traditional media ad, everything is actionable now by virtue of smartphones. So that's one important thing, that these devices are always with us and essentially always on. Another important consideration is the differences in search behavior, sort of search as a metaphor for a lot of things, on the PC versus a mobile device. On the PC, Microsoft has said they've observed people taking roughly a week to commence a search or a lookup of some sort. People are trying to complete a task, vacation planning, you know, buying a product, whatever it is. And that process takes roughly a week for most people. 70% of people complete that in a week. Whereas on the smartphone, that is reduced to a very short time frame, approximately an hour. The initiation of the search and then the completion of that. So you can imagine I'm looking for a restaurant, I'm looking for a bank, I'm looking for a nearby store location. The needs are much more immediate in most cases for people who have smartphones. And thus, these people are really good prospects, really great prospects for marketers.
So they're more ready to buy at a given moment than as opposed to someone who's searching on a PC.
That's a crude generalization, but it tends to be borne out by the empirical evidence.
Okay. And is it simply by nature of the fact that they're looking for, or rather searching for, different things via mobile, or is it that they just have a different mindset or a combination?
Well, it's very often a contextual situation. I mean, think about, you know, all the people listening to this can think about their own behavior. You and I can think about the way we use these devices. You know, you're out, you're very much looking for something, you need to get someplace, you're looking for a map, you want to find out what restaurants are nearby, you want to find out if certain kinds of services are around. So the context of your search or your query, and it doesn't have to be a search through a search box like Google or Bing. It can be a lookup on an app as well. The context of that is different than on a PC, where I'm, people used to talk about search as being a sort of a lean forward medium. People are actively looking for things. Well, that's even more true in a mobile context. You know, when I'm out, I need things right now. I'm planning. I'm ready to buy. I'm going to the store, what have you. It used to be the case that directory assistance callers, 411 callers, were most often asking for directions, store hours, things like that. They were on their way to a location ready to buy, and they were trying to get confirmation that the store was open, a product was in stock. All of that behavior now is being transferred to mobile devices and smartphones in particular.
Okay. We're coming up on our first break here, Greg, and before we go to the break, I just want to give our listeners a little taste of what's to come next after the break. And I want us to jump into the topic of tablets. I know that there is a lot of change that's happening. In fact, with some of my clients, I'm seeing that tablets are overtaking some of these other devices in a lot of cases compared to last year this time. So there's something happening there, and I would like to talk more about that. I know you'd like to talk more about that when we come back after the break.
When it comes to business,
you'll find the experts here.
Voice America Business Network. The modern world has experienced fundamental era changes, from the industrial age to the information age to the age of complexity. Technology and globalization are rapidly changing the world we live in. Yet our way of thinking and the conversations that drive our decisions are stuck in the past. To find prosperity, business and communities need the skills to learn new ways of thinking and find the right conversations to move comfortably into the future. How can you sort it all out? Tune in to The Science of Change with Dr. Barbara Berry and Lise Inman, Thursdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Business.
You want to know the inside scoop on how today's leaders do business? How they hire and develop top talent? How do they retain top employees and customers? Tune in to Leadership Leverage on the Voice America Business Channel. Every week, Dr. Robert Denker will offer ideas and facilitate discussion with guests that will help shape today's up-and-coming leaders as well as established leaders in their fields. Listen for Leadership Leverage every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Business.
Are you ready to grow your business? Listen for the Independent Business Owner Show with your coach, Rick Corrado. This entertaining talk radio program will bring you the tools to help increase your business. You'll learn sales success, time management, lead generation, business development, life balance, and much more. Rick Corrado is here to help you take your business to the next level. Listen for the Independent Business Owner Show, heard live every Monday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Network.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Generation Web with host Matt Dalby. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to matt at genwebmarketing.com. That's matt at genwebmarketing.com. Now, back to Generation Web.
Yes, and welcome back. We are speaking with Greg Sterling, mobile analyst, expert, and author of many articles and much valuable information via the web about the topic of mobile and all its interrelationships with search and social media, etc. And before the break, we were talking about some of the trends and kind of different areas of consumer behavior with regard to mobile. And Greg, talk to us a little bit about some of the changes and trends we're seeing with regard specifically to tablets.
Sure. Interestingly, ComScore, which is one of the measurement firms that tracks traffic and other phenomena online and in mobile, put out some data actually this morning that basically shows, even though there are lots and lots of tablets out there, it's really only the iPad right now that matters. 97% of tablet-related traffic in the United States is coming from the iPad. Over time, that may change as Android tablets come out and they're cheaper and the software gets better. But right now, the world of tablets is all about the iPad. Apple sold about 25 million since launch. iPad 3 is supposed to come out this fall, and it's a very, very interesting hybrid of mobile and PC, but in terms of marketers' thoughts, they really need to focus on the iPad and Android to a lesser degree.
Okay. Are there any specific demographics or more detailed information that you can share with listeners in regard to consumer behavior on mobile devices, tablets or otherwise?
There's actually quite a bit of demographic data out there based largely on surveys that have been done, who owns these devices and how are they used and so on. I don't have all of that in front of me. I have some data on differences between smartphone users, but I can say as a general matter that in terms of at least the tablet piece of this, tablets still are not an essential device, so they tend to be owned by people of higher income groups, higher income, higher education. There's a kind of a skew that I believe is in the sort of 25 to 40 4 age range, if I'm not if I'm remembering that correctly. So sort of the sort of the business user has been the early adopter of the tablets. However, they are quickly going mainstream, and a lot of people are buying them instead of a second computer. They're sort of killing the netbook market to some degree. So you'll see them become more mainstream over time. And at lower price points, there are some cheaper Android tablets. At lower price points, they'll especially start to penetrate, sort of less affluent economic groups. With regard to smartphones, there are differences among carriers. There are some demographic differences between AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, and Sprint. I don't have all that data in front of me, but it's pretty readily available online if you search for it. And then with respect to mobile operating systems, smartphone types, there are some differences where, for example, ethnic minorities, Asians, Pacific Islanders, African Americans, Hispanics, actually have the penetration of smartphones in those populations is actually higher than the majority white population. The average smartphone penetration today is about 36% of mobile users have smartphones, according to Nielsen. And those minority groups, they're higher rates, in the 40s. So you're not going to necessarily target any particular group by advertising on a smartphone, but you should have this sort of sense that among ethnic and racial minorities, there's a higher penetration level. I don't have a great explanation for that at the moment, but that's what the data reflect. So let me pause there and let you jump in. I can keep going on this, but
okay. Yeah, so one question, and the answer might be somewhat obvious at a high level to listeners, but I want to delve into it at a more practical level. We've obviously talked about some of the trends, some of the demographics, some of the changes that are rapidly occurring in the mobile space today. What does it mean for businesses? Asked another way, why should businesses care about all this?
Right. So this is a question that everybody who hasn't got their head buried in the sand is thinking about. In addition to social, the presence of smartphones, the growth of this market, and the capacity to access information on the go, and as we discussed before, the ready to buy nature of some of the mobile searchers means that these are important. These are important shoppers, important buyers who are ready to take action on certain kinds of marketing messages. If you're a business and you have let's put aside the media buying, the advertising, let's just talk about mobile web presence. If you've got a bad mobile web presence, you're gonna alienate people, and you may drive them to a competitor. Everybody has been in a situation where they've click through from a search result or an ad or some sort of query to a mobile website, and it's tiny and you have to pinch and zoom and it's very difficult to read and it's enormously frustrating. A site that's well designed and optimized for mobile devices, and that can be automatically detected and served accordingly, it offers a much better experience. So a retailer, small businesses, big brands, travel companies, that especially in travel, where more than 20% of web traffic now in the United States, according to Google, is coming from these mobile devices. If you have a really nice web mobile presence and it's usable, that could mean reservations, business. Whereas if you don't, it could mean lost business. It could certainly impact your brand. So you need to be conscious of this 100 million strong audience out there that's actively engaged with getting content, and you need to make sure, just like on the web, on the PC web, the fixed line web, if you've got a bad website that is hard to navigate and frustrating to use, it's going to turn people off and it's going to reflect negatively on you. It's the same situation here. So you've got to have a good HTML site. We can talk about apps later. That's the first point. Optimize for mobile, and then mobile marketing becomes a bigger conversation about your strategy and tactics, who you are, who you're trying to reach, and all those kinds of things. But you have to have a good mobile web presence. And if you're running a campaign, you have to have a mobile landing page that's optimized for those devices. You can't rely on your PC website, even though Google was saying in the beginning that you can, you cannot.
So it's what you're saying is having a completely separate website that's built specifically for mobile devices is definitely a better alternative than just having a site that automatically your normal site, if you will, traditional site that automatically detects a mobile device and renders it differently.
Well, if in fact you are getting a rendering of your site through some tool that makes it easier to consume on a mobile device, that's okay. But you really need to build an optimized mobile web presence through whatever separate independent mechanism or through some automated reconfiguration of the content if that happens dynamically. It just needs to address that audience specifically. You can't rely on your PC website to do the job. It's not gonna work.
Are there different incompatibilities? I mean, do people need to develop their site separately for, let's say, an Android and iPhone versus a tablet?
Well, yes, for smartphones versus tablets. This is the kind of crazy thing about all of this stuff is we now have all these platforms running around and all these operating systems. And the beauty from a smartphone perspective, the beauty of the HTML5 site is that mobile website is that it works across all the browsers on all the smartphone platforms. So if you want the lowest common denominator approach, if you want the sort of way into all these platforms, an HTML5 enabled mobile site is going to get you across all the smartphones. With a tablet, you've got different screen sizes. You've got the iPad that's almost 10 inches. You've got some Samsung tablet that's a little bit over 10 inches. You've got some 7-inch tablets. You're going to have an a 9-inch tablet. So there's different screen sizes. They don't all have to be separately accommodated, but you do need to, you need to be mindful that that's yet another device. Now, the benefit of the bigger screen on the tablet is that you can use your existing website. Somebody can look at, through the Chrome browser or a WebKit browser or IE, whatever the number is Microsoft doesn't have a tablet, but through a tablet browser, you can look at a regular PC website and it looks okay. If you're talking about apps, that's a little bit of a different story. Because people are specifically building optimized iPad optimized apps that take advantage of the larger screen.
Talk to us about apps. We've talked about mobile friendly sites that either render differently or a completely separate site, whatever the case might be. What about apps, and when should businesses use an app in addition to at least having a mobile friendly site?
Right. So you're not going to build apps for every smartphone platform out there. Right now, you really only need to focus on iOS, meaning Apple, and Android, and later maybe Windows Mobile, depending on growth. For the other platforms, you can rely on your mobile website. It's a little bit of a tricky call in terms of whether you need to build an app or not. A lot of companies rushed out and built apps because it was sexy, cool, it was a PR thing. People are very fickle about apps. They'll download them and discard them. Some apps get used a lot, some apps don't. It really depends on the business. If you can do a lot more stuff in an app than you can do on a mobile website, although HTML5's kind of closing the gap. There's a lot of functionality that you can bring to bear there. If you like a news publication can present a much richer experience on an app than they can in a mobile web context. Certain kinds of retailers can present products and their inventory and content in a more engaging way on an app than they might be able to through a browser. So there's high frequency interactions with customers might dictate an app because there's a lot of loyalty there. Interestingly, there was some data that came out from an analytics, mobile analytics company called Flurry Analytics. And what they found is that people now are spending more time, this is kind of an incredible statistic, in apps, mobile apps, than they are spending on the mobile web, on the web, PC and mobile web, I kind of couldn't believe it when I read it, but the point is directionally that there's huge engagement with apps versus web. And a well-designed app, it has to be really good, well-designed and thoughtfully, you know, done, can really be a very, as they used to say, sticky thing and keep people very highly engaged. And you can do some interesting stuff with ads in that context. iPad has great ad response rates versus smartphones versus web. Mobile devices are great branding devices, believe it or not.
Okay. And so it sounds like there's more engagement via the app and the, just to recap what you just shared, the Apple and the Android are the best, typically, you know, generally speaking, the best devices to build apps for, and the other devices typically are pretty adaptable to the mobile web.
Yes, I you know, anybody on a BlackBerry, anybody on a Windows device or Symbian can access a mobile website. Android and Apple are the two dominant mobile platforms right now. You know, wait and see a year from now, 2 years from now, but that's where all the action is. So those are the two that you want to build apps for. Many companies that build apps across the board. There are also some tools. AppCelerator is a company that has one. Adobe's developing one, has one. Another company, Roamable, has one where you can, you know, write once, quote unquote, and it'll develop an app that'll work across multiple platforms. So that's an option too. In
okay.
some cases, you can use that software.
Okay. More when we come back after the break.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network. The generation of the web is now. Your competitors are on the web, your prospects are on the web, and they're looking for you. So, are they finding you, or are your competitors getting the business you deserve? Tune in to Generation Web with your host, Matt Dalby. Gain critical insight that your business simply can't live without. Generation Web airs live Thursdays at 4 p.m. U.S. Pacific Time, 2300 UTC on Voice America Business.
Technology is intended to improve our lives and solve the world's problems. But technology in itself is a complex myriad of concepts, ideas, and security. How do we sort it all out? Tune in to Technology Today with host Ajay Gupta. The program will go inside the world of technology with innovators, engineers, CEOs, and government officials. Our topics will include green technology, healthcare technology, and cybersecurity. Listen every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Tune in to It's Your Money with host Bill Pfeifferlich. You'll get an eye-opening education about some of the misconceptions of the financial world. If you are a business owner, working professional, or successful American, you will benefit from the information on our program. Our guests will include financial service professionals, international tax and estate attorneys, and CPAs. We'll identify solutions that you can implement now to get the most of your money. Tune in Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time for It's Your Money on Voice America Business. Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business. You are listening to Generation Web with host Matt Dalby. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to matt@genwebmarketing.com. That's matt@genwebmarketing.com. Now, back to Generation Web.
We're speaking with Greg Sterling, expert, author, and mobile analyst about the mobile web, mobile marketing for your business. And Greg, we have been speaking about specifically, you know, the importance of apps versus the mobile web itself. Could you speak to us a little bit about the differences, if any, as it relates to different types of businesses, you know, how maybe a service business or a local business or a marketer in a large corporation can apply these principles and this information differently based on their situation?
Yeah, I think there's some important distinctions and differences that go to strategy and tactics depending upon what type of business you are. If you're a brand, a national business, that wants to drive e-commerce, a national or regional local business that has stores, or a small business that primarily, works with people in a small radius from your shop. I mean, it's in some ways it's equally applicable to everybody. Mobile it cuts across all these categories, but the approach is going to be different. So small businesses, for example, service businesses, contractors, attorneys, accountants, dentists, and so on, are using a variety of ways to market themselves online today. They work with different small agencies, Yellow Pages publishers, online marketing firms to get their data out into the marketplace. They do search advertising, they do display advertising, couponing. Deals are a huge phenomenon, as everybody who's listening knows. And all of these things get translated into the mobile web in various ways. So if you're a small business, the best thing you can do is really make sure that your listings are in search engines. Claim the Google Place page, claim your Yelp listing, go into Bing. They have a business portal, fill out the data fields. Make sure that those listings are accurate and correct. There's a lot more to talk about in terms of getting this data distributed across the internet, but those are some primary areas where consumers are congregating, Google in particular. And there's also a firm called Universal Business Listing that will disseminate your data, and a number of different data sources that directories and search engines rely upon. Make sure your data is out there. Make sure that the information is accurate and correct. There are some visibility tools. Getlisted.org is a good one. Am I Visible is another one that you can use. There's a whole bunch of them. Yext has a visibility tool. Many of the reputation management tools will show you where your data appear and where they don't appear. MapQuest just launched a local business portal today, and it shows you various places where your listing will appear and not appear. So you need to go to these places, get your data in there, and it will automatically be distributed onto mobile. So, for example, if you claimed your Google Place page and you've built that out, then every time somebody does a Google search or uses the Google Places app or does a map query on their Android phone or their iPhone, they're going to get that information, and it's going to be rendered in a way that's appropriate for the device. So you can let the search engine or the system in a certain way take care of that for you. And if you're a small business, the likelihood, I mean, I know I just gave this whole long talk about how you have to have this mobile optimized website and so on and so forth. That's really for brands more than it is for small businesses. It's very unlikely that people are going to be searching for particular small businesses on the web. You know, they might look up an address in a map site. They might look up directions, but it's not as likely that I'm going to go to a plumber or a contractor or a dentist's website on my mobile device. I'm going to use Google. I'm going to use Yelp. I'm going to use some sort of app, Urban Spoon, what have you. So the data needs to be there in those contexts where people are spending their time. If you're a small business, that's an important thing. As an aside, you can get a free mobile website through the Bing Business Portal. That's one of the features there. You can also create deals and coupons if you want. There's a lot of self-service tools that people can use to disseminate offers. Facebook is another important small business marketing tool, obviously important for everybody, but Facebook Place pages and Facebook pages are rendered appropriately for mobile devices. So all the fundamentals online will carry over into mobile, because these big sites and big engines and directories are taking care to do all the things that they need to do to be appropriately available to mobile consumers. So get all those I's dotted and T's crossed, and you will have a certain foundation in mobile. And then there are other things that you can do if you're a small business. If you're a brand, if you're a national marketer, a Target, a Hilton Hotels, et cetera, you do need to have a mobile website. You probably need to have an app for frequent customers, and you need to really pay attention to those kinds of things. There's distinctions there. You need to be conscious of mobile consumer behavior. Most of what's happening, what people didn't see historically, is the way in which people would go online, do searches and lookups, get information, and then show up locally in a store, whether it be a Whole Foods or a Hilton Hotels or an independent business, bookstore, whatever. People use the internet as a research tool much more often than they use it as an e-commerce platform. You know, 95% of retail is still offline. The internet drives more and more and more of that. And now with mobile, people can see it more clearly. I see a coupon on Foursquare or some other site, Groupon Now, for example, their new app, and I go into a store to redeem it. And you can see very clearly how somebody has received a message and then is acting on that message more or less in real time. And those kinds of connections in the value chain between the research and consideration and then the actual purchase behavior at the point of sale in a local store is very compressed, as I said earlier. There's an app called Shopkick, which some people may know, which is one of these loyalty apps that tries to create incentives for consumers to show up in stores, show up in Best Buy, show up in, you know, big box retailers. And then they get points and incentives and discounts to do that. So large marketers with local stores, anybody with a franchise business, anybody with a physical store where they sell stuff, even brands that sell things through distributors, are really have to think about driving people into the store. Now, there is going to be a substantial amount of e-commerce that actually takes place on mobile devices in an ironic sort of way. And the situation where e-commerce is taking place is I'm at an electronics retailer and I'm looking at TVs. I confirm that this is the best picture in my price range, and I check online to see reviews of that set and pricing information. That's a very common behavior. Up to 90% of people with smartphones are using them in retail stores to check for reviews, prices, other stores that may have the same item. And in a certain number of cases, people are then going to buy that thing online. I've confirmed that this is what I want. Now I can buy it from somebody online who's offering a cheaper price, or if it's very bulky, maybe I'd rather have it shipped to me than schlep it home. But back to the usability of websites, there are very few e-commerce sites that are making any money. eBay and Amazon are two standouts that are in the billion-dollar-plus club. I think eBay was going to exceed $2 billion in top-line revenue, and Amazon was well over $1 billion. And that's because they're brands that people know and are familiar with and trust, and because they make it easy. I mean, Amazon stores your credit card. So all you have to do is find the thing and click, and you've bought it, basically. All the information is stored. If you're some conventional e-commerce site that people are unfamiliar with, you come up high in a search result, somebody finds a product, and then you ask them, put in your 16-digit credit card number, put in your address information in all these fields on this tiny screen, and they're using the keyboard, that's going to kill the sale. I mean, this is what I was talking about earlier in a very practical sense. Oh, yes, here's the object that I want, but I have to enter all this information. I make mistakes. It's frustrating. That's going to kill that sale. I might go back home and do it online if I remember, but sites like eBay and Amazon, or sites that have a stored credit card or have really easy-to-use functionality, where you minimize the number of strokes, clicks, those sites are going to be successful. That's a situation where e-commerce takes place chiefly in a store. But most purchases are going to be about the store itself.
So the consumer will walk into the brick and mortar. They'll look around, kind of do a little research in person, and probably before that have already done some research on their phone or on their PC, whatever. Then they walk in, they do some more research, and they make a decision at that point in some cases.
Yeah, well, the
Or to buy right on the spot.
Right. The consumer purchase process is more and more kind of convoluted. You've got all these sources of information, all these media. People, you know, hear radio spots. They listen to they read the newspaper. They watch TV. They see outdoor ads, and then they go online and search. That's also happening on mobile devices. Microsoft found that some very high percentage, I think it was like 37% of mobile searches, were motivated by exposure to some traditional ad. So I see an ad in a newspaper. I go on my device. I search, and I may purchase something there. For example, I'm listening to radio shows where authors are interviewed, and very often I'll buy the book from Amazon. I'll have that book within 5 minutes or less of hearing the title and the author's name if I'm engaged in the interview. So there's this kind of immediacy that's possible, and this is what I was saying earlier, you can react. Everything is actionable now in the real world. Doesn't matter what type of media it is. So you have this sort of stimulation. Search is a kind of a part of the consideration process. And then I'm going to go, in most cases, and buy it locally. In some small subset of those cases, I may be in the store, and I'm going to buy it online because I found the thing at a better price.
Okay. Fascinating. Very fascinating. And I'm sure there's many more examples of scenarios and the behaviors of consumers and how they're changing that you could go into, I'm sure. I'm just guessing, Greg. We're coming up on another break, our last break, actually, before the closing segment. And when we come back, you touched on e-commerce. And when we come back, maybe we can touch on kind of the different tools that can be used with to help add to the convenience of purchasing via mobile devices, and as well as some other social media aspects. So we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Are you looking to soar with the eagles instead of being grounded with the turkeys? Why not have a gorilla help you out? Listen every week for Innovate, Leap Out of the Bowl with host Joby Dixon. Joby has made a living out of helping organizations and individuals become more creative, inventive, and innovative. The show closely parallels Joby's book of the same name. It'll include the process to innovate, how to rewire your brain for creativity, exercises, case studies, and more. Tune in to Innovate, Leap Out of the Bowl, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Business.
Intense and intelligent. Catch Kevin, unscripted and uncensored, keeps you informed of the ideological, theological, and economic war being waged against the United States of America. Kevin Lehman's bold and brilliant style challenges your deepest held beliefs and provokes you to ask the hard questions. Religious, scientific, political, or financial, Kevin is holding the establishment's feet to the fire. With high-profile guests that include politicians, economists, theologians, and business titans, he'll demand truth over tradition and facts over fiction. Full of passion, wisdom, and wit, Kevin's transparent and no-nonsense style make Catch Kevin unscripted and uncensored, the go-to show for real insight on business, politics, social issues, and breaking news. It's time to get real, America. It's time to tackle the tough issues head on. Tune in to Catch Kevin, unscripted and uncensored, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. Listening to Generation Web with host Matt Dalby. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to matt@genwebmarketing.com. That's matt@genwebmarketing.com. Now, back to Generation Web.
And if you need to contact Greg, if you have a question for him or a comment, you can follow him on Twitter at gsterling. That's G-S-T-E-R-L-I-N-G. So, Greg, talk to us a little bit more about the aspect of e-commerce and payments via mobile devices. I know businesses are still learning about this aspect of mobile and if and how to utilize the power and the convenience of it.
Well, mobile payments is a really interesting area that's going to be kind of a game changer eventually. And there's a lot of marketing possibilities and tracking analytics that are tied into it. It's complicated and we don't have time to go into it in depth. If people on listening now are familiar at all with Google Wallet, that's one of the mobile payments efforts that's starting to roll out. The wireless carriers have one, Visa, PayPal, everybody is trying to get into this space where you can use your phone as a wallet. In addition, there are some interesting things like Square, which is a startup based in San Francisco that many people have heard of, that enables you to plug a little card reader into the jack, the earphone jack on your iPad or your Android device or your iPhone, and then actually take a credit card payment without a merchant account. You just sign up through them. They take a piece of the transaction, a processing fee, and you can very quickly and easily take credit cards from anyone. And that's a really great and uncomplicated system for small businesses that don't have merchant accounts and don't typically accept credit cards. PayPal's out there. Intuit is out there, all pushing different payment options. And it's a complicated marketplace. It's going to take a while to sort out. But it's definitely going to be a significant phenomenon over the next decade.
Okay. Any other additional insights as it relates to payments that people should be aware of, some next steps if that's something they're interested in?
Well, really at this point, there's not a lot that merchants can do. I mean, if you're a major retailer or a major brand, you can to some degree participate in things like Google Wallet or some of the other big initiatives that are going on.
Kind of
Amex,
a beta tester
Visa.
Capacity. Yeah, because it's not available yet. So
right. I mean, Google is very actively trying to get retailers on board, and they have a number already for their wallet program, which is a kind of a single touch payment authorization. That's also tied into a sort of a couponing program. If you're a local business, if you're a small business, I alluded to Square, and there are a couple of other, or I talked about Square, and there are a couple of other options that are quite similar, where you can more easily take credit cards without having a merchant account. And so those are some things that you can investigate and do today. But there's not a ton that businesses can do. It's really all about standards, building out the infrastructure. That's going to be a game that the big boys and girls play for several years until some winners emerge, and then they can push out these standardized systems to everybody.
Okay. What about the impact of mobile on social media? Another hot topic.
Right. So, you know, you may have heard the term solo-mo or low-so-mo. There's this sort of mashup of local, social, and mobile. And, sites like Foursquare or Facebook, to some degree, epitomize that trend, where you've got a mobile device, which is the platform, which is, and the context of usage is, you know, people out and about. They can share information. They can notify people of their whereabouts and communicate readily with other people around them. They could see what's going on. So there's this combination of mobility and then the ability to communicate with groups of people on the go that's kind of being baked into a lot of apps, and Foursquare is the kind of poster child for that. And location is inherently a part of the mobile experience because you're moving through space, you know, physically from place to place. Social media is going to be a layer of most mobile experiences. Most consumer-facing mobile experiences will have some social social capability, even if it's just rudimentary sharing of information. And there'll be much more elaborate versions of that are building on APIs and showing you your network and who's online and who's nearby. And, you know, Looped was an early version of that. Google Latitude, where are my friends? Who's around? There's lots of those kinds of mobile apps that are being developed. So it's just a component of almost all the mobile consumer applications being developed today, and some of them are more social.
Okay.
And just as a last point on that, Facebook has 250 million active daily mobile users that go on to Facebook and update their status through a mobile device.
It's nearly half, or if not, at least half.
It's probably closer to 300 million right now, but wow, that's the official number. Yeah.
So looking to the future, as we get close to the end of the show today, what are some of the key trends that businesses should pay close attention to?
Yeah, I realize we've been jumping around from topic to topic, and a lot of these topics are quite complicated. We don't have enough time to go into depth on them. But businesses just need to know that mobile is a new arena for marketing and for consumers, and it's just going to get bigger and bigger. And it doesn't replace the PC internet, but it exists as a kind of parallel an overlapping universe that is analogous in some ways, but also has distinct consumer behaviors and distinct capabilities. And so they need to, you know, educate themselves and sort of systematically, you know, dip their toe into the water or get deeper into the water if your toes are already in the water. Consumers will continue to use these devices. There will be more and more data available for marketers from these devices. I mean, just the analytics and the data that are coming off them are going to really make everything that was available on the web seem very basic, you know, notwithstanding the privacy legislation pending in Congress. So it's just going to continue to develop and grow, and we'll reach, you know, we'll reach 50% smartphone penetration sometime next year. That'll mean, you know, 150 million or nearly that people with these, with iPhones, Android devices, and other devices using them to some degree in place of the PC in certain situations, and using them everywhere they are, in line at the Department of Motor Vehicles or the grocery store, looking at a billboard and scanning a barcode. I mean, it makes everything much more real time. And so people need to take it really seriously. It's the future, and they need to, you know, take a breath and sort of start testing and getting into it.
I can definitely relate to the DMV comment. So, yeah. As we close out the show, Greg, I wanted to give you an opportunity to share, and you didn't know I was going to do this, but I would like you to just share with folks some of the different informational resources that you provide and are a part of. You mentioned the educational piece is key as this continues to grow and change. What are some of those resources that folks can tap into?
Well, one of the sites that I write for, Search Engine Land, is a great resource for search marketers. There's a lot of content there about mobile SEO and mobile marketing, search marketing in general, searchengineland.com. My personal blog is ScreenWork. I write about a range of things, some of the stuff I've talked about, other things about local and small business marketing, and then internet2go.net that you alluded to is specifically about mobile, but it's more about industry trends than it is about marketing tactics or strategies. There's a lot of blogs out there that are directed at mobile marketing with case studies, with very practical information, and you just need to do some searches on those. There's a lot of good resources out there. You know, I think what I would say, without doing a whole bunch of other plugs, I would say it's important for people to start on mobile now if they haven't, to not be afraid of messing up. It's kind of overwhelming if you haven't gotten into it, but use your own experience with your own behavior as a kind of a guide for what other people are doing. Educate yourself, you know, get going, try things. For example, any Google search campaign can automatically be distributed in mobile. There are some tactical things that you would do if you want to get, you know, if you want to rank in mobile. There are some other options like click-to-call advertising in search ads that you can do on a mobile device with Google that you can't do online, and that has been very successful for marketers. So, you know, you can, as I said earlier, some of the stuff that you're already doing online will translate over into mobile, or it's relatively easy to translate that stuff into mobile. And you just need to sort of test, experiment, screw up, and you know, do it again.
All right.
Rinse and repeat.
Greg, thank you so much again for joining the call, the show today. It has been a true pleasure and an honor to have you on. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me, and I hope this was helpful to people, and people can contact me if they want more information.
And again, Greg's on Twitter at G Sterling. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank
Thanks for listening to Generation Web. Please join your host, Matt Dalby, again next Thursday at 4 p.m. U.S. Pacific Time for another show full of great web marketing strategies on the Voice America Business Channel. Until next week, continue the discussion and get exclusive insights at www.genwebmarketing.com. That's genwebmarketing.com.